Amen. Psalm 61. Wow, it's been a great week, and it's hard to believe that we're getting ready to go home. Hard to believe that some of you are going to get on your vans or in your cars or trucks or whatever else, and you're going to head home after the service. Some of you are going to leave early tomorrow morning. You're going to get home. I can promise you this. We're going to be praying for you, and we look forward to seeing you next year. Some of you have said,
but I can't come back to junior camp. I'm too old.
You can come back to youth camp, and that'd be great. But what do you do when you go home? Some of you, you've said, man, I wish, some of you told me this today, I wish I could just stay here all the time. Well, you know what? I think for some of us, that would be really special. I do. But I also know this. You can't be here all the time. You have to go back to, how about this, life. You do. But like I just heard some of you go, well, life can be tough. Life can be rough. But I can promise you this. God is always good. No matter what kind of home life you're going back to, no matter what kind of people you deal with on a regular basis, no matter what life holds for you, I can promise you this, based on the Bible, God will always love you. God is always for you. He wants you to please Him and succeed. And God will promise never to leave you or forsake you. So just walk with Him. In Psalm 61, where we're going to read tonight, we read about King David. King David in Psalm 61 has some problems. I don't know if all of these problems are just problems of life, or if they're people problems. Most of our problems are with people, right? Or maybe he just doesn't know what to do. And he uses this word in Psalm 61. He uses the word overwhelmed. That means, what do I do? In fact, the Bible word here means that so many things are happening. So many things are going on in life that he's having trouble focusing on the one person he should be focusing on. Notice what Psalm 61 says. We'll start reading in verse number 1. Here's what the Bible will write. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is, here's the word, overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And then he uses this word, Selah, which means think about what I just said. That's pretty neat. Here's the issue. David has problems. David had a lot of people problems, but he also had a lot of, well, just problems of life. And David doesn't know what to do in these verses. He says his heart, the things that he loves and the things that he wants to focus on and consume him, he's so bothered by life, by problems, by people, and by pressure.
He doesn't know what to do.
You know what? Camp's a fun place. I love camp. I love being at camp, and I don't think there's been a summer in the last, well, probably 30-something years that I haven't been at camp, maybe more than that. I love camp, but we can't stay at camp. We got to go back into life. Life does have problems, and life does have people. And it's easy to get so bothered by everything that comes our way that we can be, well, the word David uses is overwhelmed. Almost feel like, how do I do what's right when tough things come my way? My Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Would you help us to learn from the Bible, not just about what you want us to do, but about who you are? And I ask this tonight, and in through the name and the blood of my Jesus, amen. David has problems. Oh, he has people against him. And we could begin to talk about all those people, but David doesn't want to. When David writes here in Psalm 61, he's done with the people. He's done with the problems. He's done with life. He says life is tough. And guess what? It is. But you want to know something really neat? God is bigger than life. He's bigger than people. He's bigger than problems. And he's bigger than pressures. Notice what King David writes here in these verses. In verse number 1, he says this, "Hear my cry." Here's what he's saying. "Oh no, Father, please help me." Know this from the Bible. There is one prayer that God always answers, and it's when God's children say, "Help!" God always answers. You say, "Well, am I one of God's children?" I hope so. We are all God's creation. Remember, we heard that last night. But we may not all be God's children. You're only a child of God when you are adopted into His family. I'm a child of God because I was adopted into the family of God when I chose Jesus' payment for my sin. Remember last night? Now I belong to God. But please understand, if you have not trusted Jesus as your only way to heaven, you're not one of His children. He wants you to be, and you can be tonight if you just understand you're a sinner. Only Jesus can save you because only Jesus died for you, and you trust in just Jesus. And God says that's enough. But if you're a child of God, know this. You can cry out to God. That means you can call out to Him any time. That's pretty amazing. He's always listening. Notice what David says. He says in verse number 2, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." In other words, I don't know what to do. You know what? I meet kids like you all the time. I meet kids your age that, they don't have a mom and dad that know how to mom and dad. And sometimes kids your age kind of have to be the dad and mom. And that's tough. I meet kids your age that have gone through some terrible things awful things that have happened to them. And I wish I could change that for you. And I can't. But I know a God who loves you no matter what comes into your life. And that God wants to be real and precious to you. Notice what David says about God. He says that when times are tough, he doesn't just call out to God, but number one, he has learned to run to the rock. Did you see that? He says at the end of verse number two, lead me or guide me or show me or take me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, I guess I could ask you if you know what a rock is, but you've been here at West Branch all week, right? You know what rocks are. Some of you stubbed your toes on a rock this week. Some of you twisted an ankle on a rock this week. Some of you probably, ate some rocks this week when your face went right into the dirt. You know what rocks are, but the rocks here are different than the rock that David's talking about. David's not talking about a rock that you can pick up. He's talking about an unmovable, unbreakable, unchangeable rock. You can't move it. You can't get it to go where you want it to go. You can't break it open and change its whole structure. You can't change it from a rock to something else. David is talking about something that is so strong that nothing has a right to fight against it. That's pretty amazing. You know, there have been things that I have watched and seen take place that I can handle. But there's more things that I've seen take place in the lives of people and in my own life that no one knows how to handle. You don't know how to get through life when someone's done you wrong or when someone's hurt you by what they've said or what they've done. You don't know what to do. Get this. You can run to the God who doesn't change. You can run to the God whose love for you will never go away. You can run to the God who doesn't move because of the government or move because of time or move because people want to change what the Bible says. Know this, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And understand this, young person, the God who lives in heaven, who in the Bible he is called a rock, that God says you can run to him at any time. There's another place in the Bible, in fact, two different places, where he doesn't just say he's the rock. He says he's the rock of our salvation. In other words, the same person that rescued us from hell is the same person who wants to be real and precious and for you, no matter what happens in life. You know what? That's a pretty big God. That's a pretty special God. Can I just be honest with you? Everybody look up here. Sometimes it's really easy to hear pastors and preachers preach about God. And it's easy for us to listen to them talk about the God of the Bible and how the God of the Bible made the world and how the God of the Bible was with Moses and Moses saw the Red Sea part and people walk on dry land. It's easy to hear about the God of the Bible and how he would fight for his people in the Old Testament. It's easy to hear about the God of the Bible, how he sent his son Jesus to die for you, and how that God now lives in heaven. It's so easy to hear about who God was or even is. But sometimes we forget that the God of the Bible, who was real to Moses, and who was real to Joshua, who was real to Abraham and David, the God who was real to Peter, James, and John, the God who was real to the ladies in the Bible like Mary and Mary Magdalene and Ruth, and what about the woman that washed his feet? The God that was real to those people, maybe even Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, that God is the same God that wants to be real to you. The God who had the Bible written in what he said is the same God who loves you tonight, last night, and tomorrow. The God of the Bible wants to answer your prayer. The God of the Bible, he wants to walk with you when you're in the darkest time of your life and you think nobody cares. Get this. The God who was real to Moses and David is the God that wants to be real to you. The God of the Bible didn't stay just in the Bible. He's alive today because he loves you. And he knows everything you're going through. He knows what you're going home to. And he knows what you're going to face next year and the year after that and the year after that. Get this. God says, I'm the same God that saved you from hell and will give you a home in heaven. And I'm the same God that wants to be real to you every moment of every day. That's a pretty amazing God. David says, when life gets tough, you can run to the rock that's unbreakable, unmovable, and unchangeable. Notice what he says in the next verse. In the next verse, David says something even more amazing. He says, not only is God his rock, but he says in verse number 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. David says, listen, when times are tough and you don't know what to do, run to the rock. That's God. But also, he says, don't just run to the rock, but you can rest in his refuge. Notice what he says in verse number 2. Thou hast been a shelter. Well, that has the very idea of a protection. He says in the rest of verse number, 3, he says a strong tower from the enemy. So here's what God is saying. Through David, God says that he wants to protect you and he wants to defend you because he's God, and I can rest in that. Now, our idea of rest is sleep, right? Our idea of rest is sleep. One of you told me today, yeah, you know what big people do on Sundays in between church? They take naps. I don't like to take a nap. Most kids don't. When you get older, you will. But that's not what the Bible word rest here means. The word rest here in this verse that David uses has the very idea of you don't have to worry about it. God is in control. He says you can rest in the refuge, the one who will protect you, the one who will be with you, who will never leave you nor forsake you. I have a lot of nieces and nephews. And in our family, I guess the word Glenn, that's my name, is hard to say. So all my nieces and nephews call me Uncle G. G for Glenn, G-L-E-N-N. They just say the first letter, Uncle G. Well, years ago, none of the other nephews and nieces were born. It was just the oldest one. Her name is Jeanette. I was with her daddy and mommy and Miss Katie, who's played the piano, and we were all over at somebody's house. I couldn't tell you whose house it was. I just remember it was a little bit unusual. I guess it's a good thing I can't remember who it was, right? We're sitting there in the house, and somebody opened the door. My niece was about 2 years old, and she was running around, and she was playing, and she was just kind of, you know, doing what two-year-olds do, which is a whole lot of silliness and getting into things. And when that door was open, those people's dog got in the house. I don't know what kind of dog it was, but it reminded me of a pit bull mixed with a boxer. And when he came in, he wasn't happy that his people had people there. And I'll never forget, he came to that door and he locked eyes with my two-year-old niece and he went, "Roar!" I hadn't known my two-year-old niece very long. Miss Katie and I had just gotten married. And I'll never forget, my two-year-old niece bounced off the floor. And she jumped into my lap. And she threw her arms around my neck and she said, "Help, Uncle G!" You know what? That dog is not going to get to my little niece. I'll kill it. You say, "Oh, you're mean." Really? I'm going to protect my little niece, right? She's two. She can't protect herself. I can. It's very interesting that a two-year-old knew who would protect her and where she could be safe. You know, she stayed in my lap a long time that night. Understand this. There is a real enemy that hates you. His name is the devil. He can never make you sin, but he can tempt you to sin. And he doesn't want you to follow God. And he doesn't want you to do what's right. But know this, although the enemy hates you, and although bad things may come into your life, there is one person who will always protect you. You can run to him and you can rest. It has the very idea of, I don't have to worry about it because he's in control. I am safe. Young person, listen. Some of you come from tough homes, maybe. Or maybe later in life, you're going to be in a tough situation. Life is tough. But know this. God doesn't change. He still loves you. And the God of the Bible will give you everything you need when you choose to run to him and rest. Trust in who he is. The God of the Bible didn't just want to rescue you from hell. The God of the Bible, yes, he promises to set us free from sin. But the God of the Bible, if he just saved us so we'd go to heaven, we'd be there when we trusted him for heaven. So the same way that I trusted Jesus for heaven is how I live this life. By trusting in Jesus. He's promised to be my rock that doesn't change. He's promised to be my refuge, my rest when I'm afraid, when I'm scared, when I don't know what to do. He's promised to always be there and take care of everything. Does that mean that life all of a sudden gets better and gets easy? No. It means that I have someone to walk in the dark with me. You know, even David writes that in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. You know, that's a pretty special God. That's a pretty amazing God who says, I will protect you, just run to me. But then notice what else happens. It will say in the rest of the verse, let's go to verse number 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust. In the covert, that would mean the hidden or the concealment of thy wings. David says this, when life is tough, when I don't know what to do, I can run to the rock. And then I can rest. I don't have to worry. I can rest in his refuge. And then David says in verse 4, I can stay. I can remain under his roof. That's pretty special. When I read that word tabernacle, you know what I thought of? I thought of the church in the Old Testament. You know what the church is in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, when God's people left Egypt and they're wandering in the desert, they have a church, a tabernacle. It's kind of like a tent. And you set it up and you stay there for a little while and then God says time to move. You take down the tent and you move it. So when I read that verse, I thought, you mean David? He's talking about the tabernacle? But the word in that verse doesn't mean the place of the church. It simply means setting up a tent. It means just, you know, you go out camping. You don't want to sleep right under the stars, so you put up a tent and you crawl inside. I thought, that's unique. You know what David is saying? David is saying, no matter where I am, God sets up exactly what I need to keep me safe. And I can rest and I can stay there as long as I want. That's what God does. David uses the word abide. It has this idea, you choose who you're going to trust. You choose who you're going to follow. You choose who you're going to obey. You choose when life gets tough, are you going to look at the problems or are you going to follow God? Young person, David says, you know what? When life gets tough, no matter what life brings, I'm going to run to the unchangeable, unmovable, unbreakable rock. His name's God. And then I'm not going to have to worry about it. I can trust. I can rest in his refuge that he knows what's going on and he's in control. And then David says, I can stay. I can remain right here under the roof of protection that God's given me. Young person, listen. It's your choice whether you're going to walk with God or do what you want to do. It's your choice whether you're going to stay under God's roof of protection. His tabernacle. His, the Bible word here, will be covert or hidden under his wings. You know, God knows what he's doing. He also knows what he allows. And he knows who you are. Get this, he knows your dust. Did you know that? You're made from dust, and when you die, you'll go back to dust. But our God doesn't change. He's a rock. And yet he still cares about you. You know, my brother has a dog. It's a lot different than that pit boxer mix I told you about. My brother has the giant of a dog. He has a Great Pyrenees. If you know what that is, he's huge. And beyond that, his dad was a wolf. So his mom was the Great Pyrenees, his dad was a wolf, and so this dog that my brother's has is massive. His name is Benaiah. When I walk by Benaiah, Benaiah will jump up on his hind legs, he'll put his paws that are about that big on either one of my shoulders, and his head is still up here. He's massive. He's one of these dogs that you just look at him and you get a little afraid about doing something wrong. If you do right, he won't mess with you. I took my daughters over to see my brother's dogs. It was very interesting. The giant dog chose his favorite person.
I thought it was gonna be me. I thought, oh, this is great. He'll be nice. He'll let me pet him. He'll just love me.
Well, he likes me, but I'm not his favorite. You know who his favorite is? JJ. Have you seen JJ this week? JJ just turned 3. JJ is tiny. And next to Benaiah, Benaiah makes her look like this itty-bitty little doll because he's huge. But you know what? She looked at him, and she began to pet him. And she said, Naya, sit. He did. Then she reached over, and she began to pet his ears. You don't mess with Benaiah's ears. And Benaiah just sat there. Then she knelt down and she began to pet his paws. Even his owner, my brother, refuses to touch his paws. The veterinarians told my brother, don't ever bring him back to us for any paw issues. We're not helping you. But JJ can pet his paws. JJ stood next to him, and then JJ began to walk away. And guess what? That giant of a dog got up and followed her. She walked to the other end of the room. She sat down, and that big old dog sat down right beside her. And then all of a sudden, there was a noise at the door. The door was on that side, then there was JJ, and then there was Benaiah. When that door made a sound like someone was coming in, that giant dog jumped to his feet. He circled JJ and sat back down. You say, what's the point? The point is, the JJ cannot defend herself in any way. But that giant of a dog said, I love this little person. I'll protect her. Does that mean nothing bad will happen? No. That means that if something bad did happen, that dog would never leave her side. It's probably a very poor story compared to who God is. But understand this, the God of the Bible loves you. He wants to be real to you. He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to be there in your problem. He wants you not to have to worry about it, but just trust Him. And He wants to be the one you run to and then you stay with. Young person, when you leave, there are not really going to be a lot of verses that people come up to you and say, hey, I'm your counselor. Here's some verses. Memorize them. They're not going to do that. They're not going to say, you know what? Time to clean your room for cabin inspection. They're not going to do that. They're not going to say, hey, you need to wear this. Hey, you can't say that. Hey, we don't do that here. No, no, no. You're not going to get any of that. But the one thing that will stay the same from camp to home is the God that you've learned about this week. And understand this. The God of the Bible invites you to walk, to stay, to rest. That He is in control. That He's still God. No matter what. Look up here and I'm done. Some of you, you've got problems that you're going back to. Some of you know the people that are back at home. Some of you know the temptation of sin that's back at home. Maybe what you look at and what you watch, what you hear, your friends. Some of you made decisions this week on choosing the right friends. Some of you made decisions on not doing wrong in the dark, but choosing to obey God. Understand this. You cannot go home and do what's right without walking with God. You cannot go home and hope that everything's just gonna be okay because we talked about God at camp. No, God says, choose you this day whom you will serve. God says, walk after Him in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some of you, you have sin that you haven't confessed. Some of you, you don't even know you're on your way to heaven. Hey, listen, you can trust Jesus tonight and know you're a child of God. Others of you, God's talked to you about sin. You can confess it tonight and go home clean and right with God. And then others of you, you need to just choose tonight. Make a choice no matter what. I'm going to do what's right. And the only way you can do that, even when times get tough, is to choose to be close to Jesus. That means going to church. That means reading your Bible. That means talking to the Lord and Him talking to you. Get this. You don't need God just at camp. You need Him every moment of every day. After camp.